My name is Jean-Marie Verdun. I do work for HPE in the US, and the purpose of my talk will be about building an interactive continuous integration platform for open source firmware. So this idea is not new, but it has been accelerated during the past few months due to the 2020 pandemic. And the biggest challenge I faced as being a firmware engineer was to switch from my lab, where I got all the tools to design firmware and access to the hardware, from my home. So my new work environment in 2020 has been the same as many of you. So I didn't have any office space at home. I had to work from my living room and adapt my environment. And I have also to spend my day with my wife, which is not an IT engineer, and I have to respect her daily life also. And it was pretty tough for me just to bring home a wide new servers, which could be noisy because I'm going to turn it on and off all day long just to test firmware. And the space constraints required just to get these machines inside the home was also a little bit tough. So I had this idea just to try to figure out, as a first step, it might be relevant just to try the way I'm working on a daily basis instead of replicating what I was doing at the office space inside my home. And this is how I did accelerated the open source firmware continuous integration program that I bootstrapped a couple of months ago. So now the key question is, how can I fully develop the BMC firmware and BIOS while working remotely? And what would be the challenge? So I have identified a couple of challenges. The first one was, I don't want to get into my lab anymore because I can't, roughly. The building is closed, it's shut down, so the machines are turned on and only a few people can get there. And these people needs to operate the systems as if they were production machines. So the key question I had to answer was, how can I upload remotely a firmware? How can I unbreak a node? Because when you test a firmware, you will be facing software bugs. And most of the time, when you get bugs into a firmware, you might be ending up crashing the nodes, and this is breaking the machines. Then, how can I get console feedback? So, which means how can I get access to a serial console remotely? It's pretty easy to answer, but how can I build a world workflow which is fun to use and easy to use on a daily basis instead of having a bunch of shell terminal and kicking on a lot of commands? So I'm starting to think about automation, automation, and automation. So trying to get everything automatized as much as I can, but some stuff might be unreliable, and I have identified a couple of them. As an example, just to upload remotely a firmware, I decided to remove the flash chip from the motherboard and place flash emulators, which is a DailyProg EM100 that I can reprogram remotely from another compute node. The way to reprogram this flash emulator is through USB, but in some cases your USB stack is unreliable, especially after a lot of resets. And how can I address all of these things? And how can I take care about all of this challenge? And could everything be done roughly through the web? So the next topic within the talk would be how I have answered these questions. But I think the most relevant things to do now is to run a quick demo of the tool. So the tool is widely available on the web. You can get access to it through the osfci.tech website, and you will be requested to register to get access to a test node. The main reason for that is that each user is getting a session allocation, and each session lasts for 30 minutes. For the purpose of that demo, I started my session about 10 minutes ago, and I preloaded firmware on the flash emulators. So, as to give you a quick overview, you can specify in that space a GitHub repo from which you are hosting an OpenBMC fork, and you can launch a build of that OpenBMC through the tool. You can load the expected build output and on the flash emulators, or you can download locally that output for final tweaking, and then use drag and drop to reload the final firmware image that you are expecting to run. The same thing can happen for the Linux boot or the ROM flash, and then you can turn on your servers. And at the bottom right-hand side of that, you get access to the console of the BMC and you can connect to it. So it is currently running OpenBMC and I can get access to it. This is a Linux environment. You can have a look to the process which are running on this platform. And when the BMC is up and running, you can connect to the BMC web console by clicking on that button. This is going to open a new window where you get access to the OpenBMC UI. You can then connect to the local Linux boot host console, and you can have a look to how the Linux boot environment has been set up through the DMEX console, or you can boot a local operating system, and this is just going to turn on the boot features of the machine. So with that said, I've done everything remotely, so I can turn off the power by disconnecting the power. And this is just going to put back in gray all of this console. And then I can end my session. And this is just the basic command I need to know just to get access to the tool. So now how is it working? From a code and system structures, there is four main areas. There is the front end, a controller, a target, and a compile node. Everything is public and accessible through the Hewlett-Packard OSFCI GitHub repo, and you can provide us a pull request, or you can fork that project and adapt it to your own hardware. So it's not limited to HPE hardware. I think these principles can be reused on many other hardware. From the front end is the single node which is connected to the internet. The controller node is used to control the target, which is the platform on which we are going to run the open source firmware infrastructure, and the compile node is used to compile the firmware. So when we look at the front end, everything is mostly written in Go, and this is handling API calls through HTTP requests, and it's managing the core logic behind the whole infrastructure. There is two main topics on the front end which are running locally. So the user accounts are handled on the front end, as well as the whole credential access to the platform. And the storage backend is also on the front end. So for each user, you can save a couple of data like email address, password, and all these kind of things. But also a copy of the OpenBMC and Linux boot firmware, which is going to be loaded on the Flash emulator. The controller node by itself is also written in Go, and there is still some bash, and currently the community is working at porting this bash script into Go. Why is there bash script? So mainly because I had to run the proof of concept during a pandemic, and my primary goal was not to build the CI, it was to use the CI, and that's also why some stuff has been written in a very quick and dirty mode. So the Go application by itself is not a perfect Go code, and it still needs some improvement. We are working on this right now, so that is why there is not that many new features which are included into the application. So the controller is targeting firmware upload, so it's taking care about managing the two EM100 connected to a target node, and it's also managing the power control for the target node. There is a specific features on the controller nodes which might be extremely relevant for a firmware developer. So when you are developing firmware, booting up the firmware is good, but being able to boot up an operating system on the host is the main target. And one of the purposes of the CI was also to test operating system deployment as well as operating system features. So does the NUMA functions are properly set up? Does the virtualization is properly set up? So the only one way that we have to be sure about that is just to run a live operating system. So on each controller node, there is a specific USB hub. So this USB hub is able to be shared between two hosts. And there is a USB stick. And that USB stick is used to deploy a local operating system installer. So when the target node is turned off, the primary host is the controller. So from the controller, we can upload a Ubuntu installer, Red Hat installer, any kind of installer on a 32 gig USB stick. So when the target node is turned on, That USB stick is switched to the target node, and this is becoming the new host from the USB stick. So it's pretty neat and pretty useful. So the target currently is a DL360 Gen 10. That's the only one hardware platform that we support within the CI, but we are working at supporting DL325 Gen 10 Plus. So it does require some slight modification from an hardware perspective. So we had to replace the GXP ASIC, which is the ASIC that is running the I/O firmware in normal condition. The main reason of why we are doing that is because the target is exposed to the internet, and this is we are using a silicon root of trust to ensure system security on HPE platform. And what we have decided for exposed developer systems is that we are using different fused ASICs just to be sure that production systems are not compromised by potential developer machines. We also modified the BMC flash and the ROM flash, so we removed them and replaced them by spy bus pin headers, which are not available as a standard features on our motherboard. And this is where we are connecting the flash emulators. And we put a local SSD on the target just to be able to deploy an operating system and boot it up later on. And the target is connected to an IPDU for remote power control through the controller node. This IPDU is roughly a standard PDU from which there is an IP connectivity and where we can turn off and on some plugs. The compilation environment relies on Docker, so there is a specific compiler node which is equipped with a lot of cores. It's about 128 cores currently, and a lot of memory. The main goal of having a lot of memory is that we are doing in-memory compilation, so we do not process the memory through a physical storage solution. So the main reason for that is that the compilation process is ephemerical, so which means that we do not store the output of the compilation, so we are just storing the final stage of the compilation, and we just keep one single copy of that. So if the compiler node fails, we restart the compilation. That's it. There is a local storage on the compiler node, which is used to cache the previous OpenBMC build. I think it is super important just to do that because a whole OpenBMC build can last for hours, even on the big machines, because that's a huge Linux distro. And the only one way to reduce that compilation time is just to use a local cache. The compilation is driven through an API written in Go also. And it does support only OpenBMC and Linux boot compilation. If you want to extend that to anything else, we can do it, and you will have to submit pull requests to our GitHub repository. So what could be next? So we have a continuous integration platform which works in interactive mode. So we are working right now on the command line interface, which will allow us to integrate the CI to a Facebook contest framework as an example, just to develop fully automatized testing. And that is the main target. And when this work will be done, so our best dream would be to interconnect that CI with the upstream repo of Linux Boot and OpenBMC, which means that in that case, each time there will be a new pull request to this repo, we might be able to kick off a build of the resulting firmware image and test it on the live hardware, which is the only one way we can prove that this pull request is not going to break everything on the system. And we think it's super important just to do it that way, because it is very easy to break something into a firmware without realizing that you broke something into it. So if you want to participate to the effort, just feel free to join the community on GitHub, Hewlett-Packard or SFCI, or reach me through emails. So you get my email address on this slide. So this is it for my discussion of today. So let's start the Q&A. If you have any questions, feel free to start asking them right now. Thank you very much for your time, and hope you enjoyed that presentation.